Hey, good afternoon to you, Namibia, and to all our listeners tuning in from across the globe. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. I am your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and you're tuned in to On The Radar News Analysis, your trusted space for informed updates, critical insights, and impact developments shaping Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Now, of course, today is Tuesday, the 4th of November, 2025, and we step into a brand new week, and of course, a brand new month. We continue doing what we do best, that is unpacking the stories that matter from governance to grassroots, from policy to the people. Now, On The Radar News Analysis is your weekday guide to what matters the most, bringing you the headlines behind the headlines every Monday to Friday from 1300 hours to 1430. Now, this isn't just another news show. On The Radar News Analysis is about depth and dialogue. It is where we interrogate the stories shaping our nation, ask the hard questions, revisit past coverage, and connect the dots through archived audio, expert commentary, and sharp analysis. That is from major policy decisions to the everyday realities of Namibians. We bring you the full story with context, clarity, and credibility. Now, interviews are long form and in depth because some stories deserve more than just sound bites. Now, we come prepared with research, background, and your questions to ensure every conversation brings us closer to understanding what truly lies beneath the surface. Remember, you can catch On The Radar live on all Eagle FM frequencies via the Eagle FM app and our Eagle FM website. And don't forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for real-time updates, exclusive interview clips, and behind-the-scenes content. So as we kick off this new week and step confidently into November, stay tuned, stay curious, and always step beyond the surface. This is On The Radar News Analysis, when Namibia comes to think. Now let's jump into today's top stories. The recent designation of Nigeria as a country of particular concern by the US President Donald Trump and the subsequent threat of a military intervention to crush the Islamic territories or terrorists accused of unleashing terror on the Christian society has been met with both approvals and criticism from Nigerians by extension, of course, the outside nation. Now, of course, today we are going to discuss in depth about it as Nigeria's space has been thrown into a state of opinions sampling in the recent days. Of course, this is coming on the aftermath declaration of Africa's most populous nation, Nigeria, as a nation intolerant of a Christian's population. The United States of America President Donald Trump has observed with deep concern at the genocidal impunity unleashed against the Christian community by the marauding headmen and other terror group like Boko Haram. Dissatisfied with the Nigerian government response to the carnage and also prepped by the U.S. Senate Ted, he summarily redesigned Nigeria as a country of particular concern. Now, as expected, the federal government of Nigeria has been vocal against the designation, and their defense held that Donald Trump was misinformed about the situation and that both Christians and Muslims are victims of the terrorist attacks. Now, several prominent Nigerians have also lent their voice on the ongoing threat by the U.S. president to intervene in Nigeria military. The likes of Fani Kayode, Asari Dokubo, Sowe, Peter Obi, Ahmad Gumi, Adamu Garba, Reno Omokiri had their say of the incident. The average Nigerians were not left out. There were those in support of the invasion, quote-unquote, by the U.S. military and those against. Now, for those in support, the federal government has been indifferent, has done almost nothing to curb the bloodbath, and thus they welcome the deliverance proposed by the U.S. president. Now, those against argued that the U.S. have ulterior motives, that's to steal the natural resources of the land and build distrust among Nigerians. There were those who believe the intervention by the U.S. is religiously inclined and thus against Muslims. Now, of course, we are now going to speak to Dan Amuzi Naftan, who is a citizen of Nigeria. But before we get into that, let's just pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace, and we'll be back to engage with him.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And we are back. Now we are joined in studio telephonically by Dan Azumi Naftali, who is also a citizen of Nigeria. Naftali, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis. Perhaps also just properly introduce yourself and from which part of Nigeria you're speaking to us from.
Okay. Good afternoon, my dear listeners. My name is Dan Azumi Naftali, as has been introduced by the host, Mrs. Happy Ndahafa. I am speaking from Adamawa, Northeast Nigeria, currently reaching you live.
Naftali, of course, we are concerned, and I think we by Namibia, not only we, but all the outside nations, and a lot of people, of course, are noticing that Nigeria is now a country of particular concern, and in that regard to the atrocities of the alleged Nigerian Christian genocide. Do you want to get into us, to this for us, and maybe just give us a background and tell us also what is currently happening in Nigeria?
Okay, yeah, that's quite true. You are right that Nigeria has been designated by the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, as a country of particular concern. You know, prior to now, Nigeria has been designated by the same Donald Trump in his previous tenure as President of the United States. But then Nigeria was delisted by the President, the ex-president, that was Joe Biden, before Trump redesignated Nigeria again. And you see, Trump did that because of the numerous killings that has been going on in this country. There have been several footages, I mean video footages, showing the killings that has been going on in this country. And the Senate, one of the senators of the U.S. by the name of Ted, gathered some of these footages and was able to pass it across to Donald Trump. Coupled with the cries of Christians within the nation, I mean within Nigeria, crying over for help. Because the federal government, from what the Nigerian citizens are looking at, have been complacent concerning the situation. The numbers of dead has been so much. The dead tolls have been so much in this country. The strike is mostly, particularly within the northern part of Nigeria, quite a number of states, the central belt where we have states like Benue, Benue State, Plateau State, Niger State is there, and we even have Nasarawa State, Taraba State as part. Then you move to the deeper part of the north, Zamfara State is there, Katsina State is there, and even Kaduna State, Sokoto is there, quite a number. Adamawa is there too, Borno State, where insurgency seems to make a home base as it spread across the other parts of Nigeria. The South actually are not spared from this carnage of the killings. But then compared to the North, the Northern region is more of a bloodbath. So the atmosphere of Nigeria as it stands now, Nigerians are actually happy by reason of Donald Trump's interest in the situation. Since they believe the government seems to be collaborators with what is going on, so Nigerians believe that if an outsider can come in, irrespective of the intention, but so long there will be deliverance in the nation, then it's a welcome development.
Do you also believe that Donald Trump is making those remarks and, of course, trying to get the Nigerian government to sort out its own house? Do you think he's doing it because of really perhaps the minerals or the oil that's in Nigeria? Is that the motive? What do you think?
Well, you know, you can't read everybody's mind, but then by the words of the people, we can actually tell where people fall against or in favor of Donald Trump intervention. Mm. You know, quite a number of people have spoken out, from ordinary Nigerians to prominent Nigerians. There are those that are in support of his coming. I mean, among the prominent Nigeria, as well as the ordinary Nigerians. And then there are those that are against his coming, and each hold their own views as to why they want him around. I mean, his intervention, mm-hmm. or why they're against him. For those who want him around, believe that the government, like I said earlier, are complacent or collaborators with these killers for their political reasons. Mm. And therefore, an outside influence coming in, whether there's an extra motive, mm-hmm. is none of their business. Their mm-hmm. goal is, let's put a stop to these killings. Let's drop these killings. Let's stop it by all means. Even if Trump has other intentions, that's not a major concern now. What matters now is, let the killing stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nastef, let's just pause here for now. Take a trip to the marketplace, and then we'll be back to continue.
All right.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
You've leveled up in life, and now it's time to level up your contact. MTC is changing the game with our new contract data plans. More data, more voice minutes, and more SMSs. Core of everything you need. Plans start from just $199 per month. And for a limited new customer's score, an extra 10 gigabytes of data valid for 90 days, absolutely free. Don't wait. Visit any MTC mobile home or call 1-2-000 to level up today. MTC, make the connection.
Okay, and we are back. Like I said, I am joined in studio by Naftali. He's all the way from Nigeria. Naftali, I now want to read Donald Trump's tweet, what he actually tweeted. And he said, Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I'm hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. But that is the least of it. When Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide, something must be done. I'm asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and report back to me. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. That is Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. Of course, I did not read the other one of where he spoke about military, but then I did hear a journalist speak on this and actually sort of try to maneuver around the truth, sort of to say, no, this is not exactly what is happening in Nigeria. Here you come in now, Naftali.
Okay. Well, you see, I can say that for Trump to come into the picture as regarding coming to intervene militarily, it's a welcome development. I mean, speaking from my own side of opinion, you know, like I said, there are people in favor of this and people against. So the journalist where he's saying that things like this are not happening, obviously, he's for those against, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are people actually that can be bribed by the government, or possibly because of their standing with the government of the day, they will try to save a face. So they have to speak out, even if their conscience is saying otherwise.
Yeah.
But ordinary Nigerians know truly that the killings have been on ground. Thousands of people have lost their lives. They have lost their means of livelihood. We have a lot of IDPs currently in Nigeria. Almost all the geopolitical zones, we have six geopolitical zones in Nigeria. We have the Northeast, the Northwest, the North Central, which we popularly call the Middle Belt. Then we have the South South, the Southeast, and the Southwest, these six. And we have IDPs majorly within the northern as a part of the country. That's the Northeast, Northwest, and North Central. So you move around the recent killings that happened within this year. We have a community in Benue State, which is called the Yelwada community, where over 200 persons were killed. Some were actually burnt alive. Can you imagine that? Burnt alive, locked in and burnt. Then again, even in Plateau State, in local government like Bokkos, Mangu, Barichinladi, hundreds of persons have been killed and as well as butchered. You won't like the picture, believe me. Mass burials have been taking place consistently. Recently, even after the threat by Donald Trump, seven persons were still killed in southern Kaduna. It's actually an area dominated by Christians. So tell me why the Christians will not see this as a genocide. No doubt, I must admit, Muslims are also killed in this, particularly conservative ones, because there are those that are not okay with what the fundamentalists, I mean the Islamists, are doing. So such ones become target too. The problem of Nigeria is just quite much based on the people making this attack. The terrorists are there, religious terrorists are there. We have the bandits that are there, you know, which encompasses the kidnappers as well. So we have the problem of terrorists doing all with one goal. For those who are doing it for political reason, where they have their sponsors, they are there too. So as it stands, the journalist who is claiming that there's no genocide in Nigeria, I'm telling you, is because he is feeding with the government. And by reason of that, he wants to keep his job at the expense of the lives of the thousands that are dying in this nation.
Naftali, of course, what is a president, Bola Tinubu? Say your president's name properly for me.
Okay, President Ahmed Bola Tinubu.
President Ahmed Bola Tinubu of Nigeria actually saying, and of course, I wouldn't want to instigate anything here. There are those who believe that the intervention by the U.S. is religiously inclined and that's against the Muslims. And I do want to point out that President Bola Tinubu is a Muslim, not so?
That's right.
So what's his response and why he has been so slow in making interventions in regards to these atrocities that are being done in the very first place?
Okay, that's actually a very good question. You see, Nigeria is actually a multi-religious nation. And as typical of multi-religious nation, there's always the drag as to which religion dominates the other. But that's an issue on its own. Now, President Tinubu, as typical of every leader who wants to save a face, will have to come out through his spokesperson, as usual, to declare that there's religious freedom in Nigeria, and the idea or the concept of a genocide against a Christian is out of place. Now, I give it to the man. If I will be fair with the president, he's actually someone, he is a Muslim, no doubt, his deputy, I mean his vice is also a Muslim, but a Muslim from the southwestern part of Nigeria, Yoruba by tribe. So they are more conservative. By saying conservative, I mean they are more tolerant compared to the Muslims from the northern part of the country. So by reason of that, his wife is actually a pastor, in case you don't know.
A Christian pastor?
A Christian pastor with the Redeemed Christian Church of God.
Interesting.
Pastor Mrs. Oluremi Tinubu, that's his wife. So he is actually tolerant with respect to issues like religious setting, because it's like a common culture with them in the Southwest, where people intermarried, you know, Christians marry Muslims, they marry Christians. So they are more tolerant of one another in Nigeria, irrespective of their faith, the Yorubas, the Southwesterner. But on a general scale, there are people within the government who are working with him, but of course they have their sinister agenda, and so they are happy with the killings that are going on. Mm. Like I said earlier, the killings include both, actually, the Christians and the Muslims. But then it appears the Muslims have not been so outspoken. But for the Christians, they have to speak out, because the killers, like we agreed, or do I say as it is captured, they are Islamists. When they come to attack, they make the chant, Allahu Akbar. And everyone knows that that's an Islamic slogan. Mm-hmm. So by reason of that, it seems that definitely these people are committing a genocide against us. So actually has spoken through his spokesperson in two ways. One is that the Constitution of Nigeria allows freedom of worship.
Yeah.
And therefore there is no targeted population, in this case the Christians, that are undergoing genocide. And then secondly, he was talking about arranging a meeting with the President of the United States for diplomatic reasons, so they can see how this issue will be addressed. I think these are the two pressing things he has make moves on so far.
Mm-hmm. Naftali, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis. But before I actually do let you go, what are majority of Nigerians now looking for? Of course, you did say some are very appreciative of the fact that Donald Trump is saying this, but what is it that Nigerians are actually desiring their leaders to intervene in this particular aspect? And also, from you as an activist yourself, what is it that you desire Nigeria to be in regards to all this and the interventions that should come their way?
Okay, I will say thank you for once again, a question like this. You know, I said that Nigeria is a multi-religious country, so it is somehow obvious to know that majority of the people that will be aligning with this intervention mm-hmm. will go for the Christians. And then those that mostly will go against goes with the Muslims. Nevertheless, there are actually a number of Christians to politicians per se that are against this intervention. And the same goes also, there are quite a number of Muslims too that agree with this intervention as well.
Yeah.
So it's actually a kind of sample opinion whereby from both ends, we have people in support and people against this very intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about my own opinion, mm-hmm. I will actually say I welcome this intervention. Believe me, happy.
Yeah.
Nigerians are dying. People are dying. Like mm-hmm. the killings. Almost every day you keep hearing stories of people being killed. The news channels are carrying it mm-hmm. about. And these are not just fabricated stories. Sometimes you have people you know calling to say the same. You know, eyewitness that survived the attack, survivor who are in IDPs, sharing what they hear this attacker saying. We're going to chase you out of your land. We're going to take over the land. We will make sure you either Islamize or you get killed, you know. So Donald Trump coming into the picture is a welcome development by me.
Yeah.
I do hope, as other Nigerians, that there's no more to it as to whether towards the natural resources of the country. But right now, we have to survive before we can talk about the natural resources.
Mm.
So Donald Trump is welcome to liberate us from this terrorist attack. Whatever that follows after, we will see how it goes. But for now, we want to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Naftali, again, before I do let you go, I'm of the opinion that everybody has the right to their belief, to their religious belief. And our constitution, that is the constitution of the Republic of Namibia, makes provision for that. I don't know. Of what opinion are you? Because I feel nobody should be forced to be of one religion or the other. It's our own personal will and, of course, personal choices to make. What's your say on that?
Yeah. Every sane, you know, and responsible nation is expected to have a constitution as such. Nigeria is not an exception. Mm-hmm. We do have a constitution where we have the seven fundamentals human rights, the right to live, the right to work, the right to be vote, I mean to vote and be voted for, mm-hmm. the right to you know, to worship, freedom of worship. Mm-hmm. We call them rights and freedom as well. So it is enshrined in our constitution. But, you know, the unfortunate thing here in Nigeria is a very special case. It seems we're operating on two constitutions. There is the constitution of Nigeria, which holds for the entire country, you know,
yeah.
And then there is the constitution of Sharia law, which applies in the core northern state of Nigeria, where it is the injunctions of the Quran that are being put in place. And it is because of such injunctions that we end up having issues as such from time to time. So Nigerian constitution actually allows freedom of worship, but then non-state actors come in now and then and try to force other constitution that they believe that should also bear rule in this country. So Namibia is doing well by allowing her citizens to decide. Nigeria also allows the same too, for people to choose their religion, serve freely. But I cannot say 100% that this is obtainable in Nigeria, especially in northern part of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Naftali, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis. We certainly sure hope that this issue gets resolved, because we wouldn't want to lose more people. One life lost is, of course, one life too many.
Yeah, thank you so much, Happy. I am really honored to feature in this interview. I look forward also to trusting that in subsequent days, this issue, if opportunity allows us to talk again, it will be we sharing good news that the situation is calm and everything is settled. Thank mm-hmm. you so much.
Okay. And there we had it from Naftali, that is Dan Azumi Naftali, and he is from Nigeria. With that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, we'll be back to still interrogate on this issue at hand. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi.
Welcome back. And now joining me in studio again telephonically is Naftali Amukwele, and he... A very good afternoon to you, Dinaf, and welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Mm. I was very impressed or interested or intrigued with your post on Facebook, Dinaf, as you said, and I quote, the Nigerian police and army are all of a sudden busy arresting terrorists and bandits. So it took one tweet from Trump for everyone involved to suddenly have an opinion. Then we have those who say Americans are here for the oil. The oil has always been there and been used and taken by the local leaders in exchange for the souls of innocent civilians. What has it helped in relations to the killings? Now, of course, I want to find out from you, Dinaf, why is this story of particular interest to you?
Because as long as I can remember, since I was a child until I grew, I have a lot of Nigerian friends.
Yeah.
Even in Namibia, I have friends who are from Nigeria. My best man, when I got married, is a Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor is Nigerian, and for those who know Apostle H.B. Goro, you will notice that he kind of have like an eye that is damaged, one of his eye is damaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's the result of an attack by the Nigerian extremist while he was on a crusade preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of a sudden, when I heard that Donald Trump has said something about Nigeria, I was very excited, and I was paying close attention, because I said to myself, finally somebody is hearing the cry of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course. Now, Tinaf, let's get into the deeper discussion of this also, in terms of what Donald Trump is saying, and of course, what the Nigerian people, some of them at least, what they are saying to say, no, it's just that President Trump has other interests. He's interested in the oil. He's interested, of course, in the minerals or the properties of the Nigerians. But let's look at the broader picture of actually the genocide towards Christians. And this is something that has been really relatively, if you have it, and I like how you say that you're friends with Nigerians. Myself, I'm very quite close to them as well. I do have friends from there as well. And it's things that you do hear, whether it's also on news, it's things that you hear that not so long ago, majorly last year also, when Boko Haram was harassing Christians. Just let's get into this discussion to see what happened to freedom of religion then?
I don't think the freedom of religion in that part of the world is the same as in Namibia, because most of my Nigerian friends who are in Namibia are actually saying they wish that Namibians can travel to Nigeria or outside Namibia just to appreciate the peace, political stability, economical freedom that we have in this country that others are not experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But in Namibia, you can actually criticize a sitting president, you can make a video about the president, and nobody will come after you.
And even insult, for that matter, which is uncalled for.
You can even insult the president, you can say what, and nobody will touch you. The people will leave you alone, because human rights is a real human right. Now, we need to understand, of course, before people start disagreeing or giving negative comments, we have to first understand that I am speaking from the Christian point of view here as a Christian man. And wherever there are Christians all over the world being persecuted, I'm feeling that pain, because it's like my own direct family, because we are of one family.
Of one faith.
We also need to understand that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in that world. Meaning, whoever cries out to God anywhere in the world, God has got the responsibility and the right to respond to that cry, to answer that cry, and he can send whoever he chooses. In this case, Nigeria needs an external force. He needs an external body to respond to the cries of the Nigerians, because the internal bodies and forces in Nigeria cannot do anything to the government.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are telling me that, well, the government is part of what is happening to Christians. They are even sponsoring these groups. They are the ones that are eating the resources of the country.
Yeah.
They've been eating the resources of the country. Now, if you are saying the Americans are coming and they are coming for the oil, let me make this point then. Let me make it very clear.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a nation in this world, especially if you are very powerful and you are being invited. Let me say you invite me to your house to come and kill a snake. You think I'm coming there to kill that snake for free? I'm risking my life. It's the same with any other nations of the world. If they say, listen, you guys need our support, or you need us to rescue your people, we have the capability and the ability to enter into Nigeria and remove whatever is on the ground that is a threat to your people. In exchange, give us this. I mean, he didn't say that yet. He didn't tweet about that yet. But I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Which one is better? For your powerful, corrupt politicians to be eating and enjoying the resources of the country while you are dying every day, or for an external force to come in and remove the threat? Even if in return they get paid or they get resources there.
Mm-hmm.
Let the lives of the people are the ones that are more, far more than any resources in this life. True. There is no single soul that can be bought according to scripture. So I know Donald Trump has not yet said he wants this, and I know that wherever the Americans have gone in the world, they've always taken something. But at this moment in time, men, people are tired, people are fed up. Let them take the oil, who cares? We want our people to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I appreciate how you say Nigeria needs an outside force to actually help them resolve the issues that they have. And in no doubt, of course, the country is loaded with corruption. So much that you mention a Nigerian and the first thing that comes to someone's mind is scamming people. Of course, we can't generalize for every particular person, just like we cannot say all Vambos this and that. You understand? Even though sometimes a particular certain thing is very common in a certain culture, there will be other people who have some sort of integrity. But no doubt, really, Nigerians need an outside force to help them. And I think also, from my opinion, to say, I think Trump is the right person to come and help restore this now. And you did also speak about it takes a tweet from a higher authority such as that of Donald Trump for people actually to act and do something. Why do you think this is so? And how can we perhaps get to a situation whereby we as our own country, and I'm talking about leaders now, having to resolve our problems without first waiting for outsiders to notice it?
We need to listen to the voice of our people. We need to listen to the cry of our people from the beginning. I mean, if you look around the world right now, you see things are happening in Tanzania, things are even in Sudan.
Yeah.
It is a group of extremists. They are killing people and they are making videos and they are smiling and laughing about it. And I believe they are the next, probably, once Trump is done with Nigeria. Because you can't be rejoicing in the death of people because of a certain belief of that you will be rewarded for killing or Christians or something like that.
Yeah.
We need to understand that the will of the people must be respected. If you say that you are democratic people, it means that the majority choices is the one that needs to be respected. And I believe that the president in Nigeria has been voted in power if he was by the majority. If that is the case, then he should respect the voice of the majority. Otherwise, now social media is a buzz. Mm-hmm. If you go on TikTok right now, it's just Nigeria, America. If you go on Facebook right now, it's just Nigeria, America, mm-hmm. American.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a wake-up call to America, to Nigeria. This is a wake-up call because it also means it might be another chance of removing this government. If those guys come in there and the locals team up with the Americans, it means that it will be the end of the current government.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be a wake-up call to Nigeria and say, oh, now our story is all over the world now. People are reading about us. People are now sharing videos from the past. Because we're talking about 100 years of history of brutality in that country.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why most Nigerians, even those who are listening to us now, if you ask a Nigerian right now and they say, I'm going to Namibia to study, or I'm going there for a government workshop or any other workshop, even if that person is highly educated, they all want to return back to that country. Most of my friends that are Nigerians, that are in Namibia, they will tell you, there's one that has become a Namibian now, he's married here, he's got beautiful kids. He'll tell you the day I got a Namibian passport, I was kissing that document the whole night. I don't want to return to that godforsaken country. You know that the country there, that is the people that are in charge of the country. Because they are the ones that are in agreement with these groups on the ground, and these groups are protecting their interests, and then they are protecting the interests of the groups. So I believe that this is now a wake-up call, and everybody is aware that the world is watching,
mm-hmm.
been watching, and they are aware now, and they are ready to step in.
Absolutely. I appreciate also that you say even a Nigerian who is listening now. Let's now give you this opportunity, Dinaf, to speak to the many Nigerians who may be listening, even right in their homeland in Nigeria, because, of course, Eagle FM is everywhere. Just a message of hope to those who are passing through, of course, those atrocities.
For us from this side of the world, I know that anytime you are going through a situation, I've experienced that myself just lately. Last week, I was in a situation, and what most of the people will send you messages and they'll call, we are praying with you, we are standing with you. I understand and I respect that, But when, if you want to see a smile on people's face, is when somebody calls you and says, you know, I just read about you on social media. What happened then? What can I do for you right now? What? And then they say, I'm sending you money now to pay your legal team, or I'm coming to you now with how much case.
Yeah.
When these people are hearing that help is coming, that is the most beautiful news to a Nigerian living in the north, or even in Nigeria in general. Because you know that people are sending their prayers, but for the past 100 years, people have been sending their prayers. And now you are hearing the most powerful country in the world is coming. Ah, no. That is the best news a Nigerian on the ground can hear, or even, especially in the north. We have churches that are being burned down. 100 churches have been, I think, in the past 3 months. Families that are being buried together. If you just go on TikTok right now, you see videos. People are bringing out all this. So we are praying for you, definitely. And if you find yourself on this part of the world and what is this? And you want to connect, we are here to connect with you and be able to tell you that we are standing. The citizens themselves have been crying out, and I know they are innocent, most of them. We know that the name itself has been damaged by the first group of people that went out and did A, B, C, D.
Dinesh, pardon me. We have a scheduled commercial break coming up now.
Okay, no problem.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Get 4 kg Cadilla Mixed Chicken for $189.99. 1 kg Pasta Grande Spaghetti for $19.99. 750 gram Nola Mayo for just $37.99. And 2 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $52.99. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB will about you.
Okay, Dinaf, your last words before I do let you go now.
Yeah, my last word is that as people have seen on our profiles, we are standing with the Nigerian people. We are not saying the Nigerian government, the Nigerian people. And I personally hope that America goes into Nigeria and help the citizens on the ground, rescue the citizens from this mess. And we also hope and pray that, like I said before, it's a wake-up call. I hope now people have learned at least that the world is watching, and if the government does not change their behavior, extra forces may come, or help may be cut, aid may be cut, and things like that.
Yeah.
We want every country in Africa that is going through the same thing to learn from this situation in Nigeria. We continue to pray for Nigeria.
Of course. Naftali, let me get your surname properly. Amukwelele. Did I say your full name for me, would you?
Naftali Amukwelele.
Okay. Thank you so much. Naftali Amukwelele Dinaf, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radio News Analysis. We do appreciate your opinions and your insights with us.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. And of course, U.S. President Donald Trump has threatened military action against Nigeria, accusing the government of failing to protect Christians. Now, Nigerian President Bola Tinubu rejected the claims, saying insecurity affects all Nigerians, regardless of faith, and that freedom of worship is guaranteed. Now, Trump's warning has sparked mixed reactions among religious leaders. Let's take a listen.
Of the country. Nigeria has been hit hard by insecurity in some parts of the country. Insurgents like Boko Haram and other criminals including bandits, have killed Nigerians from all faith. Many Nigerians have also lost their lives in clashes between largely Muslim herders and Christian farmers, fights that have more to do with land use and ownership than religion. There have also been some attacks on places of worship, including churches and mosques. But U.S. President Donald Trump believes that Christians who are largely being targeted, and he's asked the U.S. Department of War to prepare for military strikes on Nigeria if such killings do not stop.
They're killing record numbers of Christians in Nigeria. And they have other countries very bad also. You know that. That part of the world very bad. They're killing the Christians and killing them in very large numbers. We're not going to allow that to happen.
Although Trump spoke of a record number of Christians being killed in Nigeria, he's not given any figures to back his claim. He's also not issued a breakdown of the religion of victims of violence in Nigeria, including Boko Haram attacks that have targeted people of all faith for many years now. The latest warning from Washington have alarmed the Nigerian authorities. Nigerian President Bola Tinubu issued a statement denying Christians are being targeted for their faith, and insisted the government is committed to protecting people of all faith and guaranteeing their freedom of worship. The threat of unilateral U.S. military intervention in the country has drawn mixed reactions from both the Christian clergy and worshippers.
It's not only the Christians they are killing. They are killing those who are not Christians too. But that they are coming to assist. We should allow them, but we should not just depend on them alone, because it's only God that can really save us from this situation.
Nigerians must not also forget that we've also gone to other countries to tell their leaders to do right. So let's not be hypocrites in this matter. What some of us will not support is anybody deciding who should be our leader. It's purely a Nigerian thing. But if they are reminding us that what is accepted in our constitution, what is acceptable in other standards, we should do it. If we say they shouldn't, then we should also say that the Americans should have nothing to do with us. We can't receive their aid and say they shouldn't be worried about things that are going on among us.
All we want is, what do you do with the people that have been killing? It's our concern. Not denial. Nobody can deny. But most of the people that are being killed, up to today, we are still having the pains. But the issue of what do you do with the people that have killed those that are loved ones?
Nigerian President Bola Tinubu is expected to visit Washington this week in a trip that will now gain more significance as the two countries try to resolve their differences following Trump's warning. All eyes are now on Washington to see whether the diplomatic differences over this issue will get patched up in the coming days. Daniel Arap Moy, CGTN.
Now, for a deeper look into this, we have with us Ovigwe Egwegu, policy analyst at Development Reimagined, joining us via Zoom from Toronto. Thank you very much, Mr. Egwegu, for joining us. Now, Trump is claiming there is mass killing of Christians by insurgents, but is this really true? Are the Christians more of a target of insurgents than communities of other different faiths?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. First of all, I think it's important to mention that there really isn't any clear data to show that Christians in particular are being targeted. However, we've seen killings across certain states in the country for several years now, but it affects both Christian and Muslim communities. So if the U.S. is coming up with this narrative that the Christians are particularly being targeted, then it has to provide evidence to that regard. That's not to say we don't have security problems, particularly in the Middle Belt and North Central, with regards to bandits and herders attacking communities. But they are not really attacking those people because they are Christian. Those people just happen to be in resource-rich places. They need for grazing, or for some people who want to just extract minerals. And then that happens for communities that are, or where those lands that are people who are Christian, not because they are Christian, but because they are on resource land that is needed by certain interests.
Let's talk about the timing. Why has Trump triggered this issue now?
Well, I think if you follow the pattern of President Trump, one of the things he does, particularly in the lead up to summits with foreign leaders, is to, you know, raise the stakes and really, really try to put pressure on the other side. I mean, we saw that recently, even with with China, with you know, tariffs and all of restrictions on the export and all of that, try to build pressure. But apparently, he's realizing that China cannot be bullied, and then he came with the summit we saw in South Korea. So with some African countries, he thinks that is going to work as well. Maybe not. We're hearing reports that President Tinubu is likely to visit Washington, but also recently in the last 1 hour, several media in Nigeria are saying that the president is not going to the U.S. Instead, he will be going for the G20 in South Africa. So that pressure tactic maybe has backfired with regards to Nigeria. That said, Nigeria's sovereignty, according to Nigerians, must be respected because this is not an issue that they take lightly themselves.
So what can the Nigerian president then ask for from Trump as a way of dealing with the issue of insurgent attacks to address both Trump's concerns and as well the security issue at home?
No. I think the way to look at this is not what Nigeria can ask for. Rather, Nigeria needs to make the case very, very clear and provide the right contextual understanding of what's happening in the country, given that the U.S. is interested in knowing what's available, and it is in many ways misinformed. That's not to say that what's coming from out of Washington now is just really about Christian. It's not really the case because, I was talking about the trend, but the main priority of the United States government with regards to African countries and elsewhere now is securing access to critical and strategic minerals. That has followed every single high-level engagement with the continent, whether we're looking at Congo, we're looking at even the mini summit it had with some African countries African leaders from West Africa. It's all about strategic and critical minerals, of which Nigeria has a lot of. And perhaps it's a better ask would be for value-added manufacturing investments into Nigeria, if that's what he wants, as opposed to threatening bombs. I think Nigeria needs checks of investment for value-added manufacturing, not war plans.
And finally, what would a U.S. intervention look like for Nigeria if indeed Trump goes ahead with his threats, whether in terms of aid suspension or military attack?
It would be catastrophic, not just for Nigeria, but also for the U.S.'s reputation, because nobody is asking for this. There's no evidence from any segment of the society where people are clamoring for foreign intervention. Rather, they want their leaders, that Nigerian government, to take charge of this situation, which in many ways they are. It's just that they are under resourced, the military, and it's stretched thin because there are so many theaters of operation. And we've seen the police struggle. So the military is having to even help the police and other security agencies to combat bandits and insurgent group terrorizing communities across the country. So if there is room for cooperation, and in the United States, for instance, like I said, has to, if it wants to get involved in this particular issue, has to look at it from a developmental perspective. These communities need development. They have resources. If there are jobs and people are well employed and educated, then they would not have this type of conflict. So, like I said, what is needed is investment plans for value-added manufacturing, not war plans. And I think Nigeria will be making the case if at all the president of Nigeria makes it to Washington, D.C.
And with that, we pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, you are tuned into On the Radar News Analysis. We'll see you right after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Alumni Association will host its elective annual general meeting on Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025 at 17:30. The meeting will be held virtually, allowing alumni to join all corners of the world. All UNAM alumni are invited to be part of this important occasion as we reflect on the achievements, discuss key motions, and executive committee. AGM link will be shared closer to the date, and all reports will be available.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wereld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get the best for less at USave. 2 kilograms Omaeta cultured milk, just $48.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Rietfontein nectar juice, just $34.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of King Polony, just $24.99 Namibian dollars. Knorr packet soup, $30 Namibian for any 5. That's just $6 Namibian each. Take a break with Nestle Kit Kat chocolates, just $10.99 Namibian dollars. And a 2 liter Co-E cool drink, only $12.99 Namibian dollars. USave, your low budget grocery store. Where good food costs less.
Welcome back. And now for the Namibia International Merchandise Statistics Bulletin, released by NSA, that is the Namibia Statistics Agency, for September 2025, says follow. Namibia's export revenue for September 2025 stood at $7.4 billion, reflecting a decrease of 3.8% when compared to the export value recorded in August 2025. Now, whereas the country's expenditure on imports stood at $10.8 billion, reflecting a decrease of 16.4% from $12.9 billion recorded in the preceding month. Now, the export and import positions translated into a trade deficit of $3.4 billion, mainly due to imports that outpaced exports. Namibia's cumulative exports amounted to $91.7 billion during September 2025. This shows an increase when compared to $83.9 billion registered over the same period of the previous year. Now, the International Standard Industrial Classification of all economic activities consists of a coherent and consistent classification structure of economic activities based on a set of international agreed concepts.
The Namibia Statistics Agency has just released the International Merchandise Trade Statistics Bulletin, that is for the month of September 2025, whereby the country recorded a deficit of $3.4 billion. This reflects an improvement in the trade balance when compared to a $5.3 billion deficit recorded in the previous month. Now, further analysis shows that year on year, a 5.7 billion deficit was recorded in the same month of 2024.
In September 2025, Namibia's exports were valued at 7.4 billion Namibian dollars, while exports stood at 10.8 billion Namibian dollars, resulting in the country's trade deficit amounting to 3.4 billion Namibian dollars. Now, during September 2025, exports decreased by 3.8% and 16.0% when compared to August 2025 and September 2024, respectively. The import value decreased by 16.4% when compared to the value recorded in August 2025 and by 25.4% when compared to the value recorded in September 2024. South Africa was the country's largest export destination with a share of 17.8% of all goods exported, followed by Botswana with a share of 14.0%. Furthermore, Zambia, China and the UAE formed part of Namibia's top five export markets. South Africa maintained its position as the country's largest source for imports, accounting for 33.3% of total imports into Namibia, followed by China with 10.8% of the market share. Oman, Morocco, and Bahrain were among the country's top five import markets. The analysis of exports by commodities revealed that uranium has the largest share of the export basket, accounting for 21.1% of Namibia's total exports, ahead of precious stones, diamonds, which accounted for 19.8%. Now, fish, non-monetary gold and nickel ores and concentrates also formed part of the top five exported products. In terms of imports, petroleum oils with a share of 18.7% was the highest imported commodities during the month under study, while fertilizers in second accounted for a share of 6.2%. Motor vehicles for commercial purposes, nickel ores and concentrates, and motor vehicles for the transportation of persons were part of the top five imported products. Regarding economic blocks, SACCO merged as the largest export market during September 2025, contributing 31.9% to the total exports, followed by OECD market accounting for 31.2%, while BRIC Plus contributed 18.1% in the third place. On the demand side, SACCO maintained its position as the largest source for Namibia's imports with a share of 33.9% of the total import bill, followed by OECD and BRICS Plus with a contribution of 18.5% and 15.1% respectively. The EU at 10.1% and SADC excluding SACCO at 6.1% were also among the top five economic blocs and occupied the fourth and fifth positions respectively. Now, in terms of mode of transport, a diverse number of goods were transported via sea transport, accounting for 44.3% of the total export value, followed by air transport at 30.8% and road transport at 24.9%. On the demand side, the road transport took the first position, accounting for 51.3% of the total import value, followed by sea and air transport, contributing 46.2% and 2.5% respectively. We pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, we'll be back with news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Pada fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, there's a point where we take you to news beyond the borders of Namibia. Of course, we start off regionally, move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news. We're starting off in South Africa where the ministers are meeting in Polokwane, South Africa, of course, to discuss on health matters. Let's take a listen.
All right, let's bring you this now. Health ministers from G20 countries are meeting in Polokwane ahead of the main leader summit to discuss strategies for improving global health services. Watching developments for us is SABC News reporter Katlego who joins us now live from Polokwane in Limpopo. And Katlego, no overstating the importance of a meeting like this, given the several global health crises that we faced, including, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic a few years ago.
Certainly, Ayanda, good morning, and to our viewers as well. That meeting, of course, will be on Thursday, where we expect health ministers from G20 nations to descend in Polokwane, where, of course, Health Minister Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi will be leading that delegation comprising of such global leaders from countries including Norway. We expect the minister there from Norway, Jan Christian Fester from Norway, the ministry there, as well as other countries, ministers from countries such as Nigeria, will descend upon this venue in Polokwane. Well, of course, the main center stage will be the world rallying together towards ensuring proper universal health care. Of course, now in the coming 2 days, there are preparations which are said to be at a final stage, at an advanced stage. Of course, these are ensuring that the final technicalities are taken care of ahead of that meeting on Thursday. Members of the working group, we've seen some of the delegates from G20 working group members from countries like France arriving here at this venue. Of course, they'll be preparing. There'll also be, Ayanda, a pre-recorded message from the WHO Director General, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. Of course, he will not be in attendance, but that pre-recorded message certainly will be top of the agenda. Key discussions will include ensuring a tuberculosis-free world and ensuring that the world really rallies together in ensuring that, you know, the world comes together in fighting what upon diseases affecting Africa, as well as ensuring that, you know, the HIV/AIDS pandemic is taken care of. We know that South Africa will soon be launching that HIV injectable around March next year, the Lenacapavir. So we are expecting delegates, Ayanda, to arrive on a Thursday to make sure that they discuss matters of improving universal access to healthcare on Thursday, as well as Friday, Ayanda.
All right, Katlego Nyoni is live to us there from Polokwane. It's a story we'll certainly keep watching for you throughout the course of the day. For now, thanks very much indeed.
Meanwhile, police in South Africa are set to investigate the Mogotsi shooting incident.
All right, now SABC News reporter Lopang Alamu is tracking that story for us and joins us live from Fosloris with the very latest. Good afternoon, Lopang. A shooting is a very serious and quite worrying matter. We've heard in that specific clip when you were speaking to Atlenda Mate that Brown Mogotsi had committed to come to the police station. Has he presented himself to assist them with the investigation?
Mfundo, 5 hours later and Brown Mogotsi is still a no-show. The question now being, will he actually present himself to the Fosloris police station as he had promised the police last night, where he said that he is not in a condition or in a position rather to write a statement or give the police a statement at that time. He was still shaken. Now that's according to him. But the police then saying, okay, you can then present yourself tomorrow. And he said, yes, I will be here at 8 a.m. To basically just give you an account of what exactly transpired when he was allegedly showered with gunshots from these unknown assailants. Now this is just purely what we understand has happened thus far. It's been 5 hours now, and he's yet to come to the station to give police that statement that would now form part of the attempted murder case that the police themselves have opened. Now, this is not the first time where Brown Mogotsi had promised the police to come give a statement, but he then decided not to come through. In fact, he has been in contact with one colonel here at the station where we are not certain what that conversation sounds like. We're going to actually try and speak to Atlenda Mate once more, hoping this time that we actually have somewhat. Atlenda, if you could just join us, if we could have an update of sort. It's been 5 hours now, Atlenda. Still no show from Mogotsi.
Very good afternoon. It's been a long day. Yes, indeed. Brown Mogotsi has not presented himself at this particular police station. But our investigations continue. You can see behind me. We've roped in our top ballistics experts, Colonel Mangena, Chris Mangena. He's worked on high-profile cases. He's helped to solve, you know, Senzo Meyiwa case, Babita Diokoran case. He's also solved the Oscar Pistorius case, so we've just roped him in. He's still busy, as you can see in the background. But as of now, Brian Mokgotsi has not disposed a statement to our investigating officers. So we are still urging him to present himself so that we can continue with investigations, because his statement is key. It will provide us with more clarity as to what transpired last night.
It seems as though this is his type of thing. I mean, last month in October, same thing happened where he was urged to come present himself to actually give a statement. He was not being arrested, from what we understand. Just talk us through that.
Yeah, so you'll recall that on the 16th of October, we were executing a search and seize warrant in Mahigeng at his business premises, and he was a no-show. And up until today, he has never really presented himself together with his legal representative to any of our detectives. So we are still awaiting, you know, his cooperation. But as of now, no cooperation from Brian Mokgotsi. And we would have thought, because now he is a victim in this particular case, he would come forward, you know, and be forthcoming with information as to what exactly happened. But as of now, nothing.
Thank you so much for that update. Aklinda Mate, South African Police Service National Spokesperson. Just really confirming what we'd mentioned earlier, that Brian Mokgotsi is still a no-show. I'm going to move out of shot just so you get visuals of some of the work being done by the forensic investigators. They've been quite at it for a while now. It's been a couple of hours, maybe just close to 2 hours since they started working on that car. We understand that 11 rounds were shot at this particular vehicle. And we actually did speak to Linda this morning, and she also did confirm that we can't see any blood stains. You can't see anything really that shows that someone was injured. And she also did confirm that Mr. Mokgotsi was, fortunately for him at this point, was not injured in this alleged hit. But as things stand, Mfundo, that's all we have for you at the moment. We're still camping outside the Fort Saras police station, where Brian Mokgotsi said he would be here at 8 a.m.
Meanwhile, African leaders call for stronger investment at the current Luanda summit.
To us about this fund and its expectations, but also its importance and its timeline. How will this fund stay sustainable and be replenished? And especially, how will it attract more private and development capital to avoid being a one-off financing effort?
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. This fund has been one of the pivotal announcements of what we are having as the Luanda Financing Infrastructure Summit. The priority was to really assess mechanisms of financing infrastructure on the African continent, being mindful that we've got a huge infrastructure deficit and infrastructure gap. We've been talking about for many, many years to say we need minimum $100 billion per annum between now and 2030, which is around the corner, to close our infrastructure gap. So this summit was really then to say, let's bring the financiers in the room and strategic partners that are also assisting us to co-invest in our investment, in our infrastructure. The pledges that were made, the example being the fund, are certainly going to take us a step away. The plan is to convene the next one 2 years from now to allow for sizable progress to be realized. Because as you know, infrastructure projects are not immediate, right? The planning, the preparation, the deployment. But we intend that when we call you back again in 2027, we have credible story to tell and real tangible deliverables. The priority, of course, being the corridors that we have amplified under the Program for Infrastructure Development in Africa, is only through corridor investments and transboundary projects that we can truly, really integrate the continent.
Commissioner, African leaders here, they emphasized digital connectivity as the backbone of a truly integrated continent. How does the AU plan to fast-track a single African digital market and the digital infrastructure needed to support this?
So we, in December, finalized the African Union AI strategy, We also have specific strategies on data security, child online safety, a myriad of aspects that have to do with the digital agenda. But we're also mindful that at a concrete level, we do need to invest in digital infrastructure. The issue of data centers are quite critical because right now Africa still exports all of its data, gets processed elsewhere and comes back to the continent. And it takes us back to the bigger need of energy because you can't have a data center without energy. So it's an integrated way of delivering infrastructure. And we launched now under the auspices of G20 AI for Africa initiative. That is also going to enable us to begin to infuse and inculcate some of these principles of data governance, data sovereignty, crowding in the investments that are required for the deployment of AI across our member states.
Commissioner, lastly, China is the continent's largest trading partner. When we look at what China has achieved and now its 15-year plan, can Africa try and replicate this feat?
China, and not just rapid but deliberate as well, deliberate growth across the board, you know, policies, infrastructure, skills, etc., is really a marvel for majority of the world to observe and to learn from and where possible to replicate. You know, and as you mentioned, China has been a strategic partner and present on the African continent for quite a number of years. So we are looking to those peer learnings, right? And seeing how as best as possible we can replicate the success stories and have candid conversations about what works and what doesn't work, being mindful that we are 55 countries. China is one country, as it were, although size-wise and population size, we are the same. So the dynamics will differ, but indeed, China stands to really share some great lessons of growth and integration for the African continent.
Meanwhile, President Hakainde Hichilema of Zambia has urged Tanzanians to uphold peace and stability.
It was a joyous moment for the people of Tanzania as they waited for their president-elect, Samia Suluhu Hassan, to sign the certificate of oath pledging to serve every citizen with diligence in her new term of office. This was during the inauguration ceremony at the Dodoma State House grounds in Tanzania, where hundreds of citizens gathered to witness a new era for the country. And President Hakainde Hichilema was among the several heads of state and government leaders who attended the inaugural ceremony.
Celebrate our sisters, sentient, once again, to the presidents of the United Kingdom Republic of Tanzania. Congratulations to you, Madam President. Congratulations to your teams, team members, Vice President, who has been sworn in together with you today. But we also celebrate, we want to indicate that we celebrate with you. We congratulate you, we celebrate with you the importance of the United Republic of Tanzania moving as one country.
President Hichilema also stressed the importance of peace, security and stability in individual countries and the continent as a whole.
This is very important. Peace, security, stability. For Tanzania is the peace, security, stability of our countries in the region. As we know, instability anywhere is instability everywhere. We do understand the importance of maintaining peace and stability in our individual countries. We do understand that if we lose peace in one country, we are all affected. And that is very important. The Republic of Tanzania knows this too well. The people of Tanzania know this too well. In the struggle to liberate, to seek, to achieve independence in the Southern African region, this struggle was conquered by Tanzania and Zambia. Decided to place on the table today. And that all of us in this region, on our continent, must work day and night tirelessly to maintain peace, security, stability for development. Very simple. Peace, security, stability for development. and there's a lot to be done on the developmental side of the equation. When we are challenged, when we have complaints with problems, let's come to one table only. That's a dialogue.
And the president of Tanzania urged citizens to forge ahead beyond elections and maintain a united Tanzania. The president of Burundi and Mozambique were also in attendance. President Hichilema has since departed Tanzania for Zambia. Bupense Ndofozanis in Dodoma, Tanzania.
Mino hapo kinefaso onasa Thomas Sankara.
Thomas Sankara, The Return, is the exhibition of the moment in Burkina Faso. Organized by the National Museum, it seeks to keep the memory of Sankara alive.
We wanted to pay a vibrant tribute to the father of the 1983 revolution. We also want to perpetuate his memory and all of his achievements, which are still relevant today.
The exhibition is a selection of documents, objects, and testimonies that immerse visitors into the life, thoughts, and legacy of this visionary leader. Thomas Sankara was president of Burkina Faso from 1983 until 1987, when he was assassinated in a coup. His legacy is defined by his Pan-African, anti-imperialist ideology and revolutionary reforms he implemented during his presidency that focused on reducing poverty, especially in rural areas.
I see him as someone who was a great leader, a man who loved to cooperate with other countries, who was willing to sacrifice himself for his people, and I see that we have his guitar on display. So he was a guitar player and therefore a budding artist.
Hundreds have been streaming into the museum since the exhibition opened on 15th October, a day that also marked the 38th anniversary of his assassination. Sankara's legacy continues to influence many across the continent.
There are others who are considered great patriots who participated in the construction of the nation and whose images include, for example, Yakuba Sawadogo, Laji Yoro. So there are quite a few other people who can be said to accompany the images of Thomas Sankara. And so I think that beyond Thomas Sankara, this coverage is a very beautiful thing.
Museum officials say the exhibition might expand beyond Burkina Faso's borders.
This is an exhibition that is meant to travel. We have already received requests from various African countries to host the exhibition, and we are even considering taking it on a world tour.
The exhibition remains open until December. Sophia Shimichero, CGTN.
AI Expo Africa highlights a rapid technological growth.
Three strikingly beautiful art pieces caught my eye in a room full of tech companies and startups at the 8th AI Africa Expo. They weren't ordinary pieces. The artist, Lise Duplessis, used AI to generate the images before fusing it with natural items like dandelions, flowers, and beeswax to add depth and texture.
It starts off by prompting your artistic vision, so your concept. And then from there, I'll take it into another digital space with Photoshop and Lightroom and then make changes wherever I see fit to fall into what I envision, or then sometimes it develops from there.
Duplessis tried to address the fears and skepticism around AI by showing that art, technology and nature can coexist on a canvas.
One thing that AI has given me is that freedom to explore my mind in a totally different and a unique way. Well, I've always tried to be open, not to be closed off, because the moment you close yourself off to certain things, then it's almost like you're limiting yourself.
The conference gave delegates a chance to network and discuss topics around the accessibility, security, and transformative properties of AI, even for the smallest enterprises. The concept of agentic AI, which takes care of mundane admin, is taking off here and around the world.
We allow the users to build their own data models and then train their own AI with it, giving all the context and knowledge necessary for them to really take advantage of what AI can do, and also giving them a foundational level understanding of how to leverage it in its best sort of capacity for themselves.
Such tools which work off WhatsApp are useful for banks, insurance companies, and even municipalities trying to communicate and keep track of consumer accounts.
We are helping them to basically make it easier for their customers to do payments with Smart City. Agentic AI goes, informs them that your debit order is going to go off 2 days later. Are you still good or you want to change your debit order date? Small things like that help increase the collection side of things.
AI is not just making life easier for consumers and businesses. Hundreds of skilled jobs also come with the rapid adoption of AI tools.
Small businesses are definitely leveraging AI to grow their businesses, to improve efficiencies, and to become more competitive. But AI has also opened up a number of opportunities for new business development. Sumitra Nadu, CGTN, Johannesburg.
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode of On The Reader News Analysis. Do make sure that you tune in again for another episode. That is the Onko Nana Denge program brought to you by Matthias Hangara. Don't forget to tune into the business and economic segment from 1800 hours with me, yours truly, Ndafa Happy Juju. And of course, the home run show before the business economic segment with White and Helmut from 1630. From Ndafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a wonderful Tuesday afternoon ahead.